There's some lengthy reports. Task Force 2's report was 116 pages.
Yes.
I've been on travel, so you're far ahead of me. I haven't even looked at them yet.
Well, I think other than the... I was able to whittle Task Force 2's report down to about maybe 15, 20 pages if you take out the surveys and stuff at the back.
Yeah, that's correct. If you get rid of the appendix, it's about 17 pages, I think.
And what I did is I kind of went through and I looked at some of the overlap that's within Task Force 1 and 2. Barbara, when does the comment period end?
The 17th, June 17th.
17th, and we haven't, has anybody noticed any amount of comments up on the boards yet?
Well, I just had a look at it, and there's actually no comment at all.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything come through yet. I think that there's people had discussed extending the comment period for longer than 20 days, and there is a council call on the 16th, and I think that if people haven't seen substantial comments, you know, by that time, we may want to request the extension, you know, perhaps for 10 more days to allow people to get in comments. I mean, it just depends on what we see as activity on the comment pages.
Right, and I think one of the ideas that we kind of kicked around, although this would be a much longer extension, would be to do something in Malaysia.
Could someone just clarify, this is Steve Metallis, could someone just clarify what the existing timetable is, assuming that we stick to the 20-day period, what is the next step, and when does it have to occur?
After the 20-day period, the role of the staff manager is to take the public comments and incorporate them, if they're substantial and useful, into the existing preliminary report and produce a final report that the task forces vote on to accept and pass on to council. So there is a period of time, which right now I think we're looking at about 10 days, after the close of the public comment period for the production of the final report and for the task forces to adopt the final report.
So the staff manager is supposed to prepare the final report?
That's how it's written in the PDP, yes.
And Barbara, to clarify, this is Brian, it would be 10 days from the close of the 20-day comment period that you would incorporate the public comments into the preliminary report, and that would be the final report that would be voted on by the task force?
That's correct, yes.
Would it be voted on by the task force or by the council?
The task force has to vote on sending it to council, but that's the role of the task force at that point, is just to send it to council.
Now, when you talk about incorporating public comments, do you mean, let's suppose that virtually everybody who comments is against a particular aspect of the report. Do you actually change the report, or do you just say, oh, a bunch of people commented against this?
I think if there was a distinct, let's take that. Like, let's say that there was an issue for which all the public comment was negative, then I would incorporate that by saying, you know, precisely that, you know, all public comments had these objections, and they seem appropriate or substantial objections. And I think the way that the PDP is written, not all of the public comments have to be included in the final report, just the ones that are deemed to be substantive.
Greg Ruth joining.
Hey, Greg. Deemed to be substantive or, having weight on the outcome. And
Barbara?
Yes.
Yeah, Ken Stubbs, real quick question. It would seem to me that in the report that is presented by the task force to the Names Council, there would be a specific reference to the comments area. And what I would want to know is who would deem it to be appropriate for inclusion if there is our comment, in other words, is the task force the group that deems specific comments are appropriate, or is it staff, or what?
I'm looking right now to see what is actually said in the PDP.
Because it would seem to me that in the interest of transparency that it's important to make sure that in the report specific reference be made to the area where the comments are, regardless of what comments are specifically excerpted.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
For the report.
Okay, so here's how it reads in the PDP. And given that we've adapted the PDP to meet our requirements for this process already, I imagine we could, you know, look again at the requirements here and see if, you know, propose to council on the 16th that there may be other adaptations we want to make. But here's what's in the PDP at the moment. The public comment period will last for 20 calendar days after posting the task force report or initial report. Any individual or organization may submit comments during the public comment period, including any constituency that did not participate in the task force. All comments should be accompanied by the name of the author of the comments, the author's relevant experience, and the author's interest in the issue. At the end of the 20-day period, the staff manager will be responsible for reviewing the comments received and adding those deemed appropriate for inclusion in the staff manager's reasonable discretion to the task force report. Staff managers shall not be obligated to include all comments made during the comment period, including each comment made by any one individual or organization. And then here it appears that I have misinterpreted a little bit. It says the staff manager shall prepare the final report and submit it to the council chair within 10 calendar days after the end of the public comment period. So it looks as if the task forces do not, in fact, have to vote on that final report. However, given the way that these task forces have worked, I would be hesitant to submit something to the council that had not, in fact, gone before the task forces for some kind of review.
Yeah, Barbara, this is Jeff. The way our task force wrote the preliminary report, I guess we were under the assumption that we would get it back and we would be able to come to more conclusions than we did in the preliminary report.
Right, based on feedback that you received from public comment, I recognize that. I understand that.
And we also said that we also didn't vote because we would vote for the final report, and we haven't included an impact on constituencies because we didn't know what the final report would recommend.
Right.
So is there a way we can go prepare something for the council so that they can approve a procedure that gives the task forces some time to incorporate the public comments and Barbara, final report?
I actually think that's a good idea. I think that the way we may want to structure this is to allow some, let's say, a short period, perhaps 5 days, for me to incorporate public comments so that we can see how it's directed at the issues that were raised in the different reports, and then bring that to the task forces. The task forces would then restructure their report to address that public comment and also to propose final recommendations.
Barbara, this is Ken Stubbs. I'm going to, with your permission, I'm going to send an email to Bruce Tonkin requesting that Bruce ask the council to accept a procedure similar to that. The thing I think needs to be included would be after the public comment period is closed and after the whoever's responsible for preparing the staff manager's report completes a report, it should then be presented back to the task force, who would have the opportunity to review the report and complete a final summary, which would include the items that were originally included in the report, and any additional items that the task force deemed to be appropriate, and that would give Jeff, for instance, the opportunity of putting the impact statement on. If the task force elects to vote, they could put the summary of the voting in as well, and we give a little more flexibility to the task force to allow for the public comment impact. Does that make sense, or am I...
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think it might be more appropriate to have the task force chair submit that request. That's the only thing that I would say.
Yep. Barbara, let me just... This is Jordan. Can I jump in and make a quick comment about what we did with the deletes task force, which was supposed to be based on the PDP? We lacked certain resources that we have in the current process because we didn't have a staff manager. But so certain elements that were impossible to follow in the PDP. But what we did, and I think what worked fairly well, was something similar to what Ken just described, basically, which was at the end of the public comment period, you know, we compiled the list of public comments, which I suppose in this case would be handled by the staff manager. But then we as a task force sort of took the opportunity to consider those comments and react to them, which I think was pretty productive. So you'll see in the deletes report, for example, that there's actually specific responses by the task force to each of the public comments. I don't know, that's only practical because there was only a handful, and only time will tell whether or not that approach will work in these cases. But I think being responsive to public comments in the report, and actually in some cases modifying the recommendations that we made, is an extremely helpful part of the process. In addition to, I think, both Task Force 2 and Task Force 1, it sounds like, have left some dangling ends that are predicated on getting some additional input and some additional work being done during this process. So it would be extremely helpful to have the reports open for further editing and so on by the Task Force.
Yeah, let me second that as well. With Task Force 1 and 2 specifically, I just read Task Force 2's report, and there's a bunch of things that were either supposed to be in the mandate of Task Force 1 that was done by Task Force 2, and looking at Task Force 2's report, there's some conflicting things in their report as compared to our report about access requirements. So we do need time to have Task Force 2 and 1 meet, decide which report these are appropriate for, and revise the section so it reflects all of the input. And that's one of the things I wanted to kind of accomplish with the joint task force calls.
Yeah, I agree with that. It would be one of the most important things for us to do over the next few weeks would be to consider some of the recommendations that overlap between 1 and 2 in terms of both scope and charter, to harmonize them and to either delineate clear responsibilities or make some joint recommendations between the two task forces. I don't know if there's any mechanism for that occurring under the PDP, but that may be a useful approach as well.
Well, I think we have a kind of unusual circumstance of the three task forces essentially arising out of one policy development process, and that may be, in fact, the appropriate grounds for asking for some adjustment in how the post-public comment period is handled, is if you would like to even propose that perhaps the best way to move forward is to combine the three reports into one report. And that would, in fact, necessitate a period of you know, revising and editing, as well as discussion on conclusions. And certainly task forces 1 and 2 need to be considered that way because the issues overlap so intensely.
Well, this is Steve Metallic. I think this issue of overlap, is this something that would be included in the recommendations from the two chairs to the council? I mean, it seems to me we can either spend a lot of time arguing about which task force exceeded its charter, and my view is probably the polar opposite of what Jeff just said, or we can recommend that we merge these two task forces for the following step.
Yeah, I think, Steve,
do we have a recommendation, or how should we?
I think Jordan and I have talked about this a little bit. It would be our recommendation to join the two task forces with respect, at least respect, with respect to these items, but join the task force one and two reports together.
Yeah, as somebody who's looking at this from an editorial point of view, I would say that's the best approach as well. I mean, I don't think we really want to get into a situation of saying these items can only be considered in Task Force 1 and these items can only be considered in Task Force 2 when the point is to come up with recommendations for moving forward that address everybody's concerns appropriately.
I agree with that perspective. I think it would be a complete waste of time to try to invest a lot of time into eliminating, you know, conforming to an arbitrary description of work when, in fact, the point is to come up with a new WHOIS policy.
And I think we're at a good stage for that. I mean, I think that both task forces have worked hard to reach conclusions that they recognize may exceed their original description of work, but that are important conclusions to reach in terms of developing a forward direction. And so, you know, it'd be good to look at the two reports together and figure out ways to bring their conclusions into alignment with each other for a recommendation to council.
Right.
You know, and that will take a bit of work. I mean, I think that using these next couple of weeks of public comment time as an opportunity to do some of that work and then take the public comments and see how it applies to the combined document would perhaps be a very fruitful exercise.
When does the council meet next?
The 16th.
16th, that's the next meeting?
Yeah.
So if our two chairs were to come up with a proposal both to modify the timeline and to merge or partly merge the two task forces for the rest of the process, when would that have to be submitted to the council for it to consider it on the 16th?
Is there a 7-day rule?
Yeah, Glenn, is there?
There's no way you're going to make anything like that happen before the council meeting of the 16th. The public comments are open until the 17th, right?
Yeah, no, I think what they're suggesting is that how soon they have to submit the request in order for it to be considered on the 16th. And,
right.
And the spot there, you know, Glenn, I'm sorry.
Normally it has to be a week before the time.
The
agenda a week before the time.
Right. The intake rule just applies to putting the item on the agenda, not the specific exact proposal that's going to be made. Is that correct,
correct.
Glenn?
Yeah.
Yes.
But there's no way a proposal is going to be made by the 17th or the 16th.
No, I think Milton. I think all it calls for is a resolution to be introduced, I guess it has to be introduced by a council member. But Jordan and I could draft a resolution which would recommend the joining of the two task forces, and that's all that the council needs to approve.
No, there's also changes in the PDP, I mean the deviations from the PDP that we talked about earlier, sending it back to the task forces after the staff manager summarizes the public comments. I mean, we would need to adapt the timeline, wouldn't we?
Right, but I'm just saying I think George and I could probably draft something up before.
Right. I think that should be covered.
Well, I didn't know that we were talking about merging the task forces. I thought we were talking about harmonizing the reports.
I think
merging the task forces is a bad idea at this stage. The two task forces know how to work together.
Right. Can I say something, Barbara? I think that what we're talking about is sort of three separate things. We're talking about asking Task Force 1 and 2 to work together to develop a coordinated section, a coordinated report that combines their two reports. That's one thing we're talking about. So we're not talking about merging the two task forces. We're asking them to collaborate.
Right.
The second thing we're doing is we're asking that we want to ask the council to consider receiving a report that does not have the hard and fast distinctions between Task Force 1, 2, and 3 that they established at the beginning of the process. And so the report, the final report, would in fact perhaps be a combined task force report as opposed to three separate task force reports. That's the second thing that we're asking. The third thing that we're asking is for some consideration to be given in the timeline of the PVP that says that in order to accomplish these things and in order to address public comment properly, we think that we need time to incorporate the public comment and then time to have the task forces review that final report before sending it on to council, and that's not a stage that's outlined in the current PDP. And so we're asking for either additional time or simply a consideration within the time given to have that, to have the task forces review the final report before it gets sent to council.
Well, that's my concern, Barbara, is that the third element of what you're talking about, I just don't understand how you can incorporate public comments and make the changes necessary and do anything with this upcoming council meeting on the 16th. I think we just got to forget about the council meeting on the 16th. We have to get the public comments, make our changes, and then talk about interacting with the council.
Well, I we're not planning on submitting anything on the 16th. We're asking for these changes to be accepted. We're not asking permission on the 16th. We're not asking we're not submitting the reports on the 16th. The reports are not intended to be submitted until around July 1st. I'm taking the 10 days to be kind of liberal there with a weekend or two in there. And that, you know, that gives council approximately 2 or 3 weeks to consider the report before they meet in KL. So all we're asking on the 16th is for changes in how they will receive the report that they will consider in early July.
Barbara, I'm kind of confused. It's Roth here. What is that exact change in that process in the reception of the report that you're asking for? I didn't follow the entire thing through what you were describing.
Sure. Yeah, we're asking really for two changes. We're asking in what the report is that they will receive. The first is we're asking that they allow the task forces to consider the staff manager's version before it gets sent to council. That's one change we're asking for. And the second change, a more substantial change, is that we're asking them to accept that some of the sections of the report will merge the work of the two task forces, Task Force 1 and 2, together. Instead of receiving two separate reports, they will receive one report that is Task Force 1 and 2 recommendations together.
I don't understand the point of that. The council will be merging them into a unified policy anyway. And the task forces, a great deal of overhead in terms of editing and coordination will be required if you actually merge the reports. I thought that the task force 1 and 2 were going to confer with each other and try to harmonize what they had done, but that they were still going to separate, still going to offer separate reports to the council, and I would favor doing it that way.
Except, Milton, to the extent that task force 2 and task force 1 have the... We're not sure which report that belongs in, some of the things.
Yeah, this is Jordan. Let me suggest maybe there's three possible approaches that we could take to addressing the issue, and I'm not 100% sure which is best yet, but one is that we could, and I think we all agree this is relatively difficult, but identify which areas are in scope for Task Force 1 and Task Force 2, keep the reports and the task forces intact, other than to have conferences between the two to identify the scope of each task force and then keep the existing separate reports. The second approach would be to merge the two reports entirely and have a joint report of Task Force 1 and Task Force 2, and that could even go so far as to merge the task forces in order to get to that point. And the third approach...
That strikes fear in my heart as something
That's why, Milton, I'm suggesting approaches here, not advocating one or the other. And the third approach would be to keep the two standalone reports and keep the two standalone task force, but maybe issue a third bit of reportage, which is joint recommendations of the two task forces for areas where there's perceived overlap, and to have the task forces work together in order to develop that set of recommendations. And that last way may be in some ways the simplest, but also is the greatest amount of text and so on for the council to sort of troll through it at the end of the day.
I think number one is what we want to do. We want to have them confer, and we want them to adjust their reports based on, okay, you take that part, and we'll leave it alone, and we'll take this part, and you leave it alone. And then we go ahead and submit according to the existing structure. Anything else strikes me as creating, negotiating, and editing and text development demands that are going to extend this thing for two more months.
The difficulty in that approach that I see is that there's certain elements that there's not only overlap, but there's interdependence. And an example of that is, I think, that some of the constituencies that are concerned about the privacy and the sensitivity of this data, and yours would be included in that group, Milton, I think are perhaps willing to allow some of that data to be exposed and under certain very constrained conditions, but not under other conditions. So it's difficult for us in Task Force 2, for example, to say, this data should be kept private most of the time, and this data should be put in the public domain, and this should be never shown, without necessarily knowing what circumstances under which it would be released, because the answer to what data should be exposed may vary according to what the mechanism is in place to expose the data.
But our report in its existing form deals with that interdependency very, very handily.
Except Task Force 2 Milton report basically talks about notifying the requester. It talks about a lot of the same things that we talk about with different conclusions.
I agree. So we need to talk about that, but ultimately it's the council's job, not our job, to take the three reports and turn them into a coherent policy. And in fact, it's actually the board's job, not our job, not even the council's job. But the council has to merge the reports, not us, and the board has to turn it into a coherent policy.
But I think it's our job to make it easy for the council to understand. So certainly where there's areas where there's two reports that address the same exact subject in different ways, I think it's incumbent upon us as task forces to harmonize them so that the council...
But Jeff, are you talking about harmony or just making cohesive recommendations? Because, I'm kind of sensitive to a little bit of what Milton is saying there, in that I'm not sure that we as a, at a GNSO level, take it sort of beyond council and task force, we want to make a huge investment in a lot of bureaucratic kind of make work, I guess would be the best way to describe it, and not to diminish the value of the work, but if we're looking at putting forward comprehensive, cohesive recommendations, that's a real different task from creating a grand unified theory of who is policy. So I'm not sure that I'm hearing anything that's really dissonant with putting forward cohesive recommendations, but I think if we talk about it in those terms and approach it more from a coordinated basis, both at the task force and at the council level, then I think we're way ahead of the game than getting into this mindset that we need to rewrite everything that we've done thus far.
This is
Barbara. Can I say something? I think your goal should be, and this is just from somebody who's participated in a lot of this, not just the SUIS stuff, but a lot of ICANN stuff for years. we don't want to end up in a situation where we're presenting recommendations that are either directly conflicting or that don't acknowledge where there is consensus about what should be the steps moving forward. I think one of the reasons that Jeff and Jordan wanted to at least have the two groups talk to each other was to see what basis for consensus there was in some of these recommendations, and if there is, then to highlight those areas of consensus rather than to completely focus on the areas where we're millimeters apart that aren't going to get any closer, you know. When we talk about it's the council's responsibility to build these recommendations out of the different reports, yes, but we want them to be able to recognize where there was consensus and where there wasn't, and so that they aren't combining things that people would, after the fact, say, no, I would never have agreed to putting those two pieces together. I thought of them as completely separate things, and I agreed with element A and I agreed with element B, but not element A combined with element B. And so I think that it would be a worthy goal of the task forces to try to see, you know, what we can put forward as a way of moving forward that people actually will support, you know, as opposed to just making recommendations of what we think, you know, would be nice if it happened, kind of stuff.
Well, if you're talking about moving consensus significantly beyond the point at which it is now, then you're talking about a lot of extra work.
Yeah, I'm talking about recognizing where consensus already exists. I'm not talking about trying to build more consensus into the report than is already there.
Okay.
Yeah, and that wasn't my suggestion either. I think we just need to harmonize what's in the two reports, make sure that we provide one coherent recommendation on the overlapping topics. Because as a council member, if we got two conflicting reports from two different task forces, I don't know what, you're left in an impossible situation. So I do think there needs to be some coordination.
This is Steve Metallis. Could I offer a comment here?
Sure.
In terms of what Jeff and Jordan are going to prepare, we may not even need to address this question of whether of what will be presented to the council. I think while the comment period is underway, perhaps one and two can try to deal with the problem of overlap and so forth that exists now in the reports and that people will be commenting on. But I think the most important thing is to get a proposal out there that the council can act on with regard to what happens next. Because if you look at the PDP, basically the job of these task forces is over. We're supposed to go home now, let the staff manager incorporate public comment into a final report and let the council deal with it. And if we think that that's probably not the best way to proceed, then we need to get the council's permission to change the procedure, and we need to have some timelines that will incorporate that.
Yeah, I think that's a useful approach. And I would add, I think it would be useful in the not too distant future, and I think maybe Jeff had imagined that this call would be a good framework for it, but to have just one and two get together in the near future and start to talk through the substance of some of these issues, and perhaps in the process of doing so work through, you know, maybe there are issues that can clearly be deferred to one task force or the other. There are a few more that are identified as something we want to continue to have dialogue on in between the two task forces. But I think without having some more substantive discussion of the actual recommendations and where the conflict is, it's a little hard to speculate about what the best approach to resolving the situation is. But I do think, I mean, Steve raises a good point that we do have, we do have a couple weeks leading up to the council meeting, and we should use that productively and make sure that there's an item on the agenda to deal with the issue and perhaps work through it between the task forces and Jeff and myself over the next couple of weeks in order to see if we can't have something that makes sense by the time the council meeting actually rolls around.
I fundamentally disagree with that. I think that we have to wait for the public comment. I think that's been a problem with ICANN processes is that they ask the public to participate and then it totally ignores their comment. I don't think we should make any changes in what we do until we see what people think about what we've done.
But do you want to wait another 14 days to and stop working?
Yes.
I mean, we can use the time quite good.
I don't think that anything good can be accomplished if we start making decisions now about what's going into the report that we're then not going to release to the public and ask them to comment on. That's a bad thing.
Well, Milt, what would you see as the rest of the timetable? If the comment period is through the 17th, what would be the next step?
The next step is then we initiate this modification process based on the staff manager's report and our own reading of the comments, and then we submit the report to the council. During that process, after the 17th, there would be some joint meetings of Task Force 1 and 2 in which we would also, based on the comments, work out what areas we would harmonize.
Yeah, this is Barbara. I think that would be a good approach if we weren't trying to have something ready for KL. And again, that's a question that can be raised, but that certainly was the intention, was to have something for council to consider in KL. I mean, originally the idea was to have something for the board to consider in KL, but we didn't get that far. So,
I don't understand why you don't have anything ready for KL. I mean, we do this in late June and early July.
Well, no, I mean, that what you're proposing is not that different from what other people are suggesting, except for the meetings during the public comment period. Otherwise, it's exactly what everyone else is proposing. The only thing that they're asking to put before council on the 16th is just the additional time needed to do the kind of work that you're talking about. But they're also, what I've heard Jeff and Jordan talking about is doing some of that work during the public comment period, not to preempt what the public will say, but to be better ready to address what the public will say. Not to preclude public comment, but to find a better way of incorporating it into the report.
But let's walk through Milton's timetable here. If the council meeting is on July 20th, I believe, the council meeting in KL, that's Tuesday.
Yeah, the 20th.
So that would mean that they would have to have something to them a week before that?
No, it actually needs to be sooner than that because there's so much travel in the week leading up to
would we need to have something to them consider it on the
20th? Yeah, practically speaking, we'd like to have something to them 2 weeks before the meeting. I mean, 3 weeks is even better, but 2 weeks is pretty much, acceptable. So we're talking about...
That's July 6th.
The 6th, yeah, around the 6th. And we're already pushing that edge by asking for, additional time for the task forces to review the staff manager report. But I do think we could do it within that time period, provided we have some better understanding of what the relationship is between the Task Force 1 and 2 reports prior to incorporating the public comment.
Well, Milton, do you think that we could do what's necessary in terms of the of dealing with the Task Force 1, Task Force 2 issue in a period, say, from a week? because that's about what it would come down to, I guess.
Yeah, probably not. So then I would have to modify my position here to say that if we have this joint Task Force 1 and 2 meeting during the public comment period, then we have to agree that basically we're not talking about changing text at all. We're talking about, you know, which sections of which report in the future report would be allocated to which of the committees. And maybe we could express views in terms of, you know, where the committees differ and what was the reasoning behind them, but we couldn't agree to change any text, I would think, until we actually have public comments. And everybody knows that in these public comment games, people withhold their comments until the deadline so that nobody can read their comments and answer them in their comments. So
right.
The fact that there are no comments yet doesn't mean that there won't be.
I guess my suggestion for moving forward at this point is that I do think that it would be useful to schedule a joint meeting of Task Force 1 and 2 with a very specific agenda of going through the heart of the two reports and seeing if there can easily be agreements on which issues belong in which report and how to separate them as issues if that's what's decided on, or how to combine them if that's what's decided on. And that, you know, that meeting could be very fruitful if it can be very focused on that discussion and not get bogged down into, you know, discussions of actual agreements or disagreement with what the proposals are that are in each report.
Well, this is Steve. I wouldn't be very optimistic about that, a meeting with that restricted an approach, because I assume that both task forces tried to keep to their description of work, and they think they did. And therefore, it's not likely that either of them will say, oh, well, we shouldn't have gotten into this topic, why don't you handle it? I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I assume that that's how we got to where we are today. So I'm not sure it would be that useful in any case to be...
Well, but you can. But you now have had a chance to see each other's work, and it may be more... clear to you. I mean, I don't know. I'm just promoting this as an idea. That it might, you know, somebody's conclusions might fit better in the other person's report if they can be, you know, taken up and lifted and put down into the other report, just cut and pasted. You know, so again, I'm not talking about changing language and I'm not talking about changing intent. I'm talking about just sort of a reorganization of the material.
Yeah, and Barbara, I've actually, in reading the two, I'm more on Steve's side at this point.
Okay.
And actually reading the comments, I would think that both task forces probably feel that it's important and both come out with semi-conflicting views. So I'm not sure how willing one task force would be to give it to another task force knowing that there's a conflict. I think the only way to solve these issues is to collaborate on these points and get a joint kind of position.
Well, let me suggest perhaps as the way forward is still have, you know, the meeting that Barbara's proposing, which I think is useful, and to work through the substance of the recommendations and identify where the conflicts are, and then have a discussion amongst the task forces about what we think the best approach forward is. And I think it's easier to do grounded in with identified issues than talk about in the abstract as we are right now. And it may be some issues, it may be perfectly feasible to defer to one task force or the other, and we may find other issues where we think that the correct path forward is to have follow-up meetings in order to develop joint recommendations of the task forces. I can't say. I don't want to presuppose one approach or the other. But I think we ought to go in and have detailed conversation about where the conflicts exist and set the approach for resolving them, if not actually resolving them in the near future.
Right. This is Steve. I would agree with that. And could we ask our two chairs not only to prepare this proposal for modifying the timetable that would go to the council, but also to prepare just a list of the issues that appear to be in overlap or conflict between the two reports. And there's stuff in both reports that's not in overlap or conflict, and we don't even need to bother talking about that.
That's correct.
So maybe if that list could be prepared and we have a little while to look at that before we have our joint meeting, then we'll see if we can make any progress.
And just a minor point, I don't think overlap is a problem, although conflict is.
Yeah, it's more a question of where we're saying two different things about the same subject.
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven, can I add maybe something to this? I think this is a very useful discussion. If it would help, maybe we could also, from the staff side, draw up a list of issues where we see, let me call it interaction between the reports and the positions. I don't think this is necessarily a question of overlap or holes, but it is more like where is the interaction leading to sort of seemingly conflicting results or seemingly, situations which require discussion, and we would be, I think, from our side, quite happy to assist the chairs in doing that if that is considered useful. In the end, if I look at the more longer term, the whole thing needs to converge into some coherent policy, and I'm sure that the GNSO Council and also the ICANN board would say, well, the experts on this are in the task forces, so whether this emerges from the task forces now or whether it emerges at a slightly later stage, I'm sure it will have to emerge from the task forces, so we may as well start working at that and then see in parallel with the common process, with the common period process, how this actually positions itself.
Well, this is Jeff. I would certainly welcome that help from staff on helping to identify the issues, and I agree with you as well that I think the council would ultimately want us to give them guidance on the coherent policy.
Yeah, I think that's that would be my position as well. I am mindful, though, of Milton's comments that obviously, not even before the public comments come in, we cannot change the process behind closed doors. So I think we need to leave that go its foreseen way. But it doesn't mean that in parallel we can start preparing for the next phase.
Okay, so again, at this point, we'll be looking for two documents from the two chairs. One is the proposal to council for modifying the timeline, and second, the document listing, with the input from Paul and the staff, listing the areas of conflict or overlap, or where Task Force 1 and 2 should at least meet and try to discuss.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to agree with that.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay. So will we?
The only recommendation I would make is that I think that to council should come from all three task force chairs, and we're meeting. We have a call scheduled for tomorrow to talk about that, so we can.
I agree.
We can work through that.
Okay. So
I would propose next Thursday is a good date for a call, kind of in keeping with this timeline.
Well, if could we get that list by Monday then?
This is David Ferris. I know I won't be able to make the call.
Yeah, Thursday is a public holiday in Germany and most of the parts in Europe.
That's the 10th of June?
Yes.
Yes, that would be the 10th of June.
This way we can get a document together to the council within a week before their meeting.
Well, the document to council, I think if you can just circulate that to the task force members, maybe we could just handle it on the list. But I think in terms of the discussion of the issues, the overlap or the conflict issues, I think we need to have a meeting for that, right? And in. I think we should have that list a few days in advance so that we can think about it and try to get input from our constituents.
Jordan? Yeah?
Still there?
I am indeed.
Do we think we can make the document together by next Monday?
I'm looking at my calendar.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't we talk about that tomorrow morning in our call? And I should have a better understanding of what I can offer you guys as support for that.
Yeah, I think it seems practical. I mean, we're just looking at identifying sections as opposed to, we're not trying to put together a masterpiece here that tries to resolve the issues or discuss them with nuance, but just identify portions of the reports that where there's perceived conflict or tension.
Right.
So if we met on Thursday, would it be this time?
That's what I would suppose.
Could we do it on a different day, not Thursday, next week? That's a holiday in some parts of Europe.
Is it a holiday as well on Friday?
Friday's a problem for me, actually. And actually, if we want to, if it does affect our discussions with anything we want to say to the council, it may be more valuable to have more than a week out.
Are you going to move back to Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday would work for me. I mean, actually, any time earlier in the week is fine for me.
Wednesday works for me.
Let me double check my calendar.
It's good that everyone who's on the call right now can say that. I think we might want to circulate a note to Task Force 1 and 2, asking them if this works for them.
Yeah, just FYI, that works for me, so.
Yeah, why don't we pencil that in and circulate notes to the task forces, and if we've chosen a particularly bad time for some reason, then we can think about rescheduling.
And that would be at the same time, 11
right.
o'clock Eastern.
Yep.
Great.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.